Let's bring in our Monday morning political panel to analyse, to look forward and see where we go from here. Erin Palaszczuk is the National Secretary of the PSA. She joins me now. Good morning to you.
Atamari, it's good to be back.
Great to have you here as well. Nick Leggett, former Porirua Mayor, National Party member and Executive Director of the Porirua Chamber of Commerce. Good morning to you, sir.
Morena, Tim.
Right, Erin, how have we arrived here from your take of where we are at the moment?
You could say that this is bizarre or exciting, depending on how you view the world, right? I think it's kind of exciting. We always knew that New Zealand First, Winston Peters, was going to play a key role in the decision making, if you believed he was going to get over the threshold, which I always expected they would. So we got here because in the last couple of weeks we had that. We had things change in favour of Labour. I mean, I want to point out that compared with the last election, Labour got 250,000 more voters this time round. But they didn't quite get up to where they wanted to because, in my view, a couple of the lies that were used in the last week of the election really sunk home for some voters. I met people who believed, even though there was no course to believe it, the lie about personal tax being increased and the one about the $11 billion hole in the budget. And I think that started to mean that swelling of the Labour vote just sort of stopped swelling quite so much. So we end up where we are, which is basically a deadlock, slightly more people voting for a change of government than have voted for National. But interesting.
Yeah, we'll come back to that shortly about whether this is whether there is this mood for change as has been talked about. Nick Leggett, your reaction on where we are at the moment?
Well, it's stunning, really. The fact that a third term government can maintain 46% of the vote is stunning. And if you look at the result, go back to 2008 when Labour lost office under Helen Clark, 34% of the vote then. Last night, Labour, on Saturday night, Labour gained about, 35.5. The Greens-Labour combined tally is barely up on that 2008 result. So, yes, it's progress in terms of the last two elections for the centre-left bloc, but it is nowhere near government. And I do believe that a party that has the largest share of votes does have the moral authority to at least commence negotiations to see if they can get a majority. I think it's sad, though. I'll pause here because I think we know that there were polls done before the election that showed that more New Zealand First voters wanted the party to go with National than with Labour. But I do think it's a shame that the Green Party has put itself in a position where it can't be part of at least supporting a government and getting significant environmental concessions. I think that most New Zealanders would be open to that. And I think that's sad.
Yeah, well, let's put that to Erin. I mean, James Shaw has ruled out going with National. He says we campaigned on a change the government platform, that it would be hypocritical to then go with the National government, which we didn't want there in the first place. But the Greens, they are shooting themselves in the foot that if they're serious about getting their environmental policies through, you can't do it from opposition.
I think your caller who texted him before was kind of wise about, you know, people are going to have to make concessions here. But I think concessions on the environment are probably a step too far for the National Party. I mean, the only parties talking about, really talking about climate change and fixing the environment were Labour and the Greens running up to the election.
But the only way for the Greens to have any sway over climate change is to be part of a government, be it Labour or National.
I guess they're making that assessment. Do they really think their involvement with the National government would mean that agriculture is brought into the emissions trading scheme? Do they really believe that the Greens, that the National government would change their position on the environment? And they're probably assessing that that's pretty not likely to be the case. The National Party hasn't given any indication of caring about, you know, cleaning up our rivers, clearing up our industry, or moving to more environmentally friendly industries.
Well, National's made obviously significant gains in terms of cleaning up rivers and waterways, and, you know, the damage that's been done over generations, it takes generations to fix in many cases. So I think that's been, you know, if we're talking about lies, you know, there have been lies perhaps in both directions. You know, the thing about this goes back to this issue about, you know, New Zealanders are not happy about the tail wagging the dog. And, you know, the Green Party, you know, at 5.9% of the vote, if they want change, they can be part of the change on either side of the spectrum. But it is about concessions, as Erin said. And actually, you know, I think that's the problem with, I suppose, the Green mentality a little bit, is that we see that concession, that ability to compromise. From what I've seen in Green, from some Green politicians, not so much in the Parliament, but in local government, their inability to kind of be flexible on some stuff. And you know, this is an example. This is a place where they could really show that they are serious about being part of grown-up decisions and taking part in government. What worries me is that there still is the professional protest mentality, and you know, I think that's possibly why we've seen such a shrinking of the vote.
Yeah,
I think they, if they've been looking at the Māori Party example, though, I mean, we've seen the Māori Party disappear now, and I think part of that is because going into coalition as a small party with National meant that they weren't able to progress issues for Māoridom within Parliament. They were gagged. They had their hands. They were hamstrung. So I think the Greens want to avoid being like that.
Significant issues, but it's one thing to make progress. It's the second thing to be able to demonstrate you're doing it, and that is the problem with coalition.
Yeah, small parties tend to get. Very few small parties who have gone into arrangements are still there, really, when you think about it. Someone said from Jack said the Greens going with National would be like ACT going with Labour.
That's well, X came out of Labour, if some people remember.
Yeah, it did.
How it all started. That's right, indeed. This mood for change, Erin. I mean, there was in the weeks leading up, there was this endless talk about the youth quake, about this huge swing behind. We've got huge social issues in the country, environmental issues in the country. But as Nick pointed out there, National has still maintained that percentage of 46%, and it may dip down with special votes, possibly to 45%, but they will still be by far the largest party. Why did that not resonate with all of the talk about this mood for change and time after 9 years, and 9 years to still get elected into another term is almost unheard of. It has happened once or twice before. Why didn't it work, do you think?
Well, remember that, as I said before, the Labour Party did attract 250,000 more voters to it in a short space of time, because its turnaround started to happen when Jacinda took over the leadership, and the National Party lost more like 11,000 voters compared with the last time. But I think in the last... I sensed a bit of nervousness in that last week, and I have to admit, for me personally, that the lowest point of the election campaign was when I saw that final leaders debate, and I heard Bill English, who I've always thought, even though I don't agree with his politics, would to be a highly moral man, repeat that lie about the $11 billion hole in the budget, and be challenged to look Jacinda Ardern in the eye and say that, and wasn't able to. And I thought, you were staring down a lens and lying to the citizenry of New Zealand, and I felt... I just felt disgusted, actually, that a Prime Minister would stoop there. I don't think he had to, but I think that once they started to do that and realised it was shifting, they kept on it and they kept on it and they kept on it. And it was a tactic, and it worked, because if people were undecided, and we saw this, so many people say asking questions after that, is Labour actually going to be able to run the economy? Is Labour actually going to, you know, tax me more? It really made a difference, and I think it's a shame they had to stoop to that level, because I wanted a positive win, you know, a clear win for a positive campaign. And what this has shown us is you have to play dirty, and I think that's a terrible lesson.
Well, let's put that to Nick. I mean, Jacinda Ardern, whatever you think about her, she did run an unusually positive campaign in terms of it's hard to, and you know, as a politician, it is hard to run a campaign based entirely on positivity, especially when you're running against the government, which was still relatively popular. Did National win, or was National did National realise, as Erin suggested, that the attacks on the tax policy, whether they were true or not, worked, and it got into people's minds?
Well, I think firstly what I'd like to acknowledge is that Jacinda Ardern did a marvellous job, and she deserves full credit for that. She inspired a significant group of New Zealanders, and she was positive in her outlook. So I think that, you know, I can acknowledge all sides in these. But as I said before, look, the issue of tax, you know, that might be one thing that some people are saying is a lie. But then we see things like, we talk about inequality and how that's apparently worsened when actually it hasn't. That health spending in real terms has been cut. It hasn't. So, you know, both, this is politics, and it is always a contest of ideas, and people are going to have different spins on things. So I think we have to accept that. What we have is a fairly defined result. National got a larger percentage of the vote than they did when they first won in 2008. And that wasn't because Bill English told porkies on tax. That was because we live in relatively positive economic times. And that, for me, you know, aside from all the noise of a campaign, you know, you think about when do governments get defeated? When people have had enough of them, and when the economy, you know, is not performing.
Tanks, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. And so we weren't at that point, clearly, for most New Zealanders. Mm. I think there was a strong feeling, though, that people want the positive parts of the economic spoils to be shared with more people. And that will be the challenge for the National Party now, I think, will be ensuring that is recognised and that the social dividend can be shared.
Okay.
I want to make the comment, sure. When we talk about most of people did not vote for Nationals.
This
I just want to
this
make
is the
that.
54% of people who didn't vote,
yeah,
vote
didn't
for Nationals.
National. But I do think that what's really
that a vote
interesting.
For New Zealand First was a vote for a Labour Green government either.
Well, I think, I mean, every New Zealand First voter who we know of in our union would prefer a New Zealand First Labour coalition. I think that's coming through on their Facebook
page.
But that's not been confirmed
in scientific polling that shows more New Zealand First voters actually prefer.
I think this is what
National.
That conversation he needs to have with his board is going to be about, well, really, is about where they sit. But can I just make a comment, though, that I think what's been interesting here is, regardless of which party you're from, health has been on the agenda, housing has been on the agenda, and child poverty. And I disagree with the comment you made that inequality isn't growing, because I think there are a lot of people in New Zealand who feel comfortable right now, but there's also far more people who are below the breadline.
I don't judge those comments on how people feel, though, Aaron. I judge them on statistics, on well-based information that, you know, is provable. I mean, and I go to someone
that says inequality isn't grown, because everything I have
Tarver,
read.
Who you'll be, a guy you'll be familiar with, you know, he's moved away from the Green Party because he's actually seen that that inequality has not grown under this government. And that, you know, when people like that who are very evidence-based are making those kind of comments, you know that, you know, that's something you should be listening
but
to.
But wealth in New Zealand has changed in the way that it sits. So more sits with the top proportion of New Zealanders than sits in the bottom. That's a fact, okay? I read a lot on this stuff as well. It's not spread equally among people. Wages have dropped for people.
Real wages have increased, yeah, actually, over the last 9 years. Yeah.
I just need to get, well, I'm more than happy to continue the conversation. I do just need to get to a break, and I do want to come back and also talk about dealing with Winston Peters, your gut feeling about what you think he's going to do, and I want to have a look at a couple of local electorates in the Wellington region as well. Aaron Palachik and Nick Leggett with me on the Monday morning political panel, 23 past 11.
Call 0800 80 1080 to talk back with Tim Fuchs on Newstalk ZB with Wellington International Airport and Fiji Airways. Flying Wellington Nandi direct twice weekly at family-friendly times.
25 past 11, Monday morning political panel. Nick Leggett and Aaron Palachik with me. Dealing with Winston Peters. Now, we've all had dealings with Winston Peters over the years, everyone in this room. Me of course, is a former political journalist, and journalists are on as target of people not to speak well about or with, but you get over that and it's all part of the games. Nick, from your dealings with Winston Peters, your confidence level on whether you think he's going to make the right choice here.
What a question, Tim. I don't know what the right choice is, to be honest. Look, I think I do believe Winston learned from 1996, that 13-week period that we kept, you know, the country waiting before he made a decision. So I think this will come together relatively quickly. From what I understand, he's genuinely considering his options. He's a guy that's obviously experienced in coalition negotiations, among other things. But, you know, he does have a choice to make. I mean, Aaron's made the point. You know, a significant number of people voted for change. Does he go with change, or does he support a fourth term government? So I mean, obviously I hope he does support the National Party. I think 46% of the electorate voting for one party is a fairly clear indication, and no, it's not first past the post, but it is a strong message that that they have an authority to at least try and inform the government. Where's he going to go? I don't know. I mean, Aaron, what do you think?
I'm not brave enough to say I understand the way his, you know, mind works, but yeah, he's got a lot to think about. I think he will have to go back to the people who voted for him, the party members and his governance board or whoever he has to consult with, and find out how they're feeling, and I think that's the right thing to do. And like Nick, I hope he doesn't string us out too long while he does that. I mean, when I look at New Zealand First, they've got a lot of they've made a lot of positive statements in the election campaign. They believe in a livable minimum wage, which obviously we endorse, and they opposed that equal pay bill that the National Party put forward, which we see as stopping equal pay from being a reality. So they've got some positive things that I just hope they're going to try to progress, no matter who they do the deal with. I mean, if he's thinking longer term, I'm kind of thinking maybe he would be considering Labour, but just simply because even though it might be easier to go in with National right now, it might be less likely for them to do a fifth term. So if he's looking kind of beyond the 3 years, he might look there. I don't know.
Yeah.
It could go either
it's
way.
Interesting. And we were just saying but, in the break that the so-called youth quake has now resulted in a 72-year-old man deciding the future of the country. Just quickly, MMP. We've only got five parties now represented in Parliament. I've heard, Nick, this morning from all sorts of people who says we just don't understand MMP and how it works in this country, that we still have the first-past-the-post mentality of the two main parties. Would you agree with that?
No, I think we do. I think we do understand it. I think it's amazing when, you know, larger parties, both Labor and National, have done this to try and help smaller parties with electorate deals. They get attacked. And then we complain when the larger parties make up 80% plus of the vote. You can't have it both ways. I actually think we should explore dropping the threshold to 3%. I think that will make for a stronger parliament. I mean, obviously, the German model is such that it works. Mm. You get variety. You get some sort of single issue type parties, but actually, once in a while, that's not a bad thing. And you know, we do want to seek to broaden things. I mean, I look at it selfishly. I mean, if there was a party in at 2 or 3% now, they had to. I mean, if ACT had got 2%, National would be in government. If the Māori Party had 2% plus a seat, National would be in government. So, but actually, if you'd look at the principle of it, 3% of the electorate's a pretty significant group of people, I think we should be. I'm a proportional representation fan, so probably the wrong person to ask.
Yeah.
I was just thinking to myself, everybody in this room would have only voted under an MMP system.
That's so, right. But it is a bit crazy, and Aaron, this is an example that will always be used. The ACT Party only got about 10,000 votes across the country. Yeah. David Seymour gets in because of the deal done in Epsom. The Māori Party got more than 1% of the vote, but they couldn't win a seat, and they're gone, which I personally think is quite sad for Parliament, because I think there's a lot of respect for the job that the Māori Party have done and the MPs that have been associated with them, certainly in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
But it is one of those things where the small parties just get gobbled up if they are in any form of government, unless they can do deals like Peter Dunne and David Seymour have done.
Yeah. I mean, although it kind of irks me a little bit, one of the quirks of MMP that doesn't sit well with me is the fact that we do have a Member of Parliament who represents, you know, 4,000 people in Epsom voted for him, and suddenly he's there. But we could probably use that a bit more. I just think I've heard these people saying, you know, it's unfair that a minor party, that Winston Peters has the balance of power right now. But I think that's just the reality of MMP. He has power right at this moment in time, but once he's in Parliament, whoever he's in coalition with, it's not like he suddenly has a majority of votes.
No, but he can pull the pin. Can't he? Can't he just basically tear up any agreement and say, I'm out of here?
Well, at his peril. He's done that before.
it hasn't worked very well.
But I think we're seeing a more mature Winston now, surely.
Yeah. Final word from both of you. Let's look at the Wellington electorates. We've got some new MPs in Chris Bishop, Paul Eagle and Greg O'Connor, looks likely in Ohariu. The paper today says we've gone red, or red letter day for Wellington. We've gone red. I think Chris Bishop, Nick, would disagree with that. I think he's taken us very solid Labor seat for so many years and turned it blue.
Yeah, I mean, the National Party have not won an electorate within the Wellington region, as in metropolitan Wellington, since 1993. So it's a pretty substantial kind of a achievement for Chris Bishop and Hutt South. But yeah, I mean, you look at the party vote across the region and the electorate majorities, and it's Labour have strengthened their position here. There's you can't argue with that. I have to say, pretty happy. I think Paul Eagle will be a great Member of Parliament for Rongotai. I think Greg O'Connor will be a significant addition to the Parliament. Also put a plug in for Nicola Willis, who's sitting on the threshold. I think she's 58 of the 58th in the National Party caucus at the moment, and hoping that specials don't take her out. But because she's, you know, she's a Wellington, you know, Wellingtonian originally, born and educated here, has had a senior job with Fonterra. She's got four kids. She's run a really great campaign, so significant sort of body of experience. I think she'll be a great voice.
Already I've had a note through from a listener wanting to know if you're planning to run in 2020. If you can think that far ahead.
No, I'm not thinking that far ahead.
Erin, I mean, local electorates, I mean, we know that Wellington's been very, very Labour friendly for many, many years. And of course, once you get onto the Kapiti Coast and Wairarapa, they tend to go more blue as regional New Zealand goes. Have you got any MPs or any seats that were won or lost that are of particular interest to you?
No, I mean, I'm in the Rongotai electorate, so it's good. Welcome, Paul Eagle, who seems like he will be good. That's always been solidly Labour, though. Probably not so exciting. I think I mentioned last time I was on the show, I was interested in what was happening in the Wairarapa. That still went to the National Party, but by a much smaller proportion. So I found that quite interesting. And I think what interested me most, if we talk about electorates, and if you will allow me to move outside of Wellington, was Tamati Kwhiwhi's win. I just had listened to the debates and didn't know how he would do, but the Wairiki people really threw their support behind him. It wasn't a huge margin. I think it was only just over 1,000, but that made a huge political difference. I mean, that was the end of the Māori Party.
Absolutely, the end of the Māori Party. Yes, some good news actually for people in Wairarapa that Alistair Scott has been re-elected. Kieran McInulty goes in on the list for Labour, and Ron Mark, of course, so there's three MPs. And the same for Hutt South, where Trevor Mallard will still be in on the list. Ginny Anderson, of course, ran against Chris Bishop and Chris Bishop. So it's good to see as much Wellington representation as possible. I think we would all certainly agree.